This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the last 5 years, the average price of an American home has shot up 50%. In many cities, it has more than doubled, and now we're told the party's over. Prices are still high, but the frenzy's finished. The market has peaked. So now what for Americans and their homes? A lot, it turns out. Big changes coming. Next month, the first baby boomers turn 60, and that is just the huge beginning of a cascade of demographic shifts that will remake who lives where, for how much money, and with what expectations for community and lifestyle in the decades ahead. Up next on Point, the future of the American home. Who will live where, and its meaning for the U.S. housing market. Joining me now from Portland, Maine, is Susan Hudson Wilson. She's the founder and former CEO of Property and Portfolio Research, a real estate and strategy firm in Boston. Susan, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, Tom. Happy to be here.
So here we are. It feels as though we're looking at a new horizon after this sort of frenzied last 4 or 5 years. Do the numbers point to that to you, Susan? What do you see out there? Where are we headed now?
Well, I really look, you know, the word frenzy is a little bit strong. As long as demand is real, then we can't talk about bubbles. As long as demand for housing is what is causing house prices to rise so rapidly, then the word bubble is just too much of a word. And in the past many years, over the last 20 years, we've had a legitimate push on housing prices. This legitimate push has come from baby boomers. People born post-World War II through about 1964, entering the highest home ownership years. So that's really what's pushed the prices up. That's fair and square. Interest rate drops obviously contributed to that as well, but I think that demographics were a more important driving force. Now we have a situation where, as you pointed out in your opening, boomers are going to hit 60. Uh-oh. Now what are they going to do? They're going to change their behavior. People, once they hit 60, they start to think about retirement. They start to change their behaviors. Baby boomers have been very mobile as a population. Mm-hmm. They've moved all over the country. They've lived all over the world. They're not afraid to sell their family house and move on. So I would suspect that we are now going to enter a period where the legitimate demand, especially for sort of suburban ring housing, is going to be replaced by baby boomers selling those homes and choosing other options.
So we've seen what you call this legitimate push. We get it, boomers looking for that bigger, better home in the last 20 years and maybe more. Now, and it is, you know, we have to remind ourselves what a huge demographic fact it was and remains. If boomers began looking off in different directions, and we'll look about at what those might be, what does it mean for where demand is going to be, where it won't be, for the U.S. housing stock, for patterns of home buying and selling, Susan, in the next decade and more?
Yep. Well, let's start with what the boomers have created. They've created a very, very, very nice pool of capital, pool of wealth, pool of assets in their sort of suburban ring homes. You know, ever the increasing sized home, et cetera, et cetera. They were able to afford it. Interest rates helped. Yay. Now they're going to want to take that money off the table and start to change their locus. Now, in the short run, they will probably still be working because once people hit 60, they don't necessarily retire. Mm-hmm. They start thinking about retirement, but they don't necessarily retire.
And it's just the oldest boomers in any case turning 60. No, not the whole generation.
Well, you know, that is correct. However, the shape of the birth pattern for the baby boomer cohort is extremely important. It is front end loaded. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is you're going to have a very, very, very large number of the very largest cohort ever making similar decisions all at the same time.
Is there a follow-on generation with immigration and everything else prepared to buy up those homes in the suburban ring?
No, there isn't, unfortunately. Gen X follows the baby boomers, and we also call them the baby busters. They were born between 1965 and 1976. Their population group is about half of the size of the baby boomers. So think about it. If 20% of the boomers decide to move, their sort of available supply of houses is going to be taken out by 20% of the Gen Xers, much, much smaller group. So you've got sort of this big supply coming on the market and a much, much, much weaker demand.
We'll talk about what that means in terms of housing, but we're joined right now from Washington by John McElwain. He's senior resident fellow at the Urban Land Institute, a nonprofit education and research institute that looks at land use. John, thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, Tom.
Susan's begun to talk to us about the boomers, where they stand, and what they may want next. We'll look more at that. But as we consider that, what about the generations coming up behind the big boomer bulge in the population? What are their interests when it comes to homes and housing? What do they want?
Well, I think Susan's laid out the situation very well. I would add one thing to the discussion, which is that we have continuing housing demand because we have continuing population growth in the country. We're adding somewhere around 3 million people a year to our population, making us the third fastest growing country on the planet, actually.
You're talking about natural growth plus immigration equals a pretty good clip.
Exactly. And actually, two-thirds of that is natural growth. About one-third is immigration, which is likely to continue. So there is going to be continuing demand for housing. I think that the challenge is going to be affordability. We have, as Susan pointed out, Generation X, or the baby busters, who are following on the baby boomers, and that will present a challenge for many of the baby boomers who want to sell their suburban homes. Following them, it's very interesting, following Gen Xers, or what are called Gen Y, they are the echo boomers, also known as the echo boomers. They are the children of the baby boomers, and the oldest of them are now in their mid to late 20s, which is the prime household formation age. And many of them are leaving home finally. Some of them are leaving home for the second or third time, perhaps, but they are starting to form their households. They don't have a lot of money unless mom and dad are able to help them. And one of the things that we found is they do want to own, even if they can't afford the big house in the suburbs.
But let me ask you about that affordability issue. If there's not a great big follow-on market to buy up all those homes, doesn't law of supply and demand mean that those prices may simply come down? I'm looking here at a Federal Reserve study, came out just published last week. Gloomy view of housing prices going forward says house prices will peak in level terms between this year and 2010 and begin to collapse by 2015. Following the peak, it says house prices decline over 30% in value over the next 50 years. Could that be the path we're on, John?
Well, it is. But, you know, over the next 50 years, nobody really knows. One of the things, Tom, I think it's important for people to understand is not to look at the national housing picture. It's misleading because housing is a very local. The housing markets are very localized, even within metropolitan areas. The Boston market's different from the New York or the Washington, D.C. market. But even within a city, the suburban market is actually several different markets. There's the outer suburban ring. There's the inner suburban ring. There's the downtown market. There's an urban suburban town center market. And so when you take a look at what is my home going to be worth, you need to take a look at where you are located in those markets and take a look at what housing prices have been done there.
Right.
I think over time, many of these markets are going to continue to grow, maybe certainly not at double-digit rates. A long-term history of real estate of housing is that it basically keeps up with inflation long-term. And so we will probably go back to more traditional kinds of growth in prices. There may be some periods of flatness coming ahead, but I think Susan's right in saying that we're not going to see a bust the way we did in the tech stock market.
And yet we've got this Fed report, Susan Hudson-Wilson saying a 30% decline over the next 50 years. That doesn't sound like keeping up with inflation. Is affordability going to be the issue, or, you know, swooning prices underneath the boomers, counting on those for their retirement asset?
Yeah, I would actually argue that 50 years is too long a horizon, that I think that price impact is going to happen within the next 10 to 15 years.
Whoa.
I think it's upon us. I think it's happening already, particularly in suburban rings where the population is, in fact, hitting that 60-year-old stride. You know, again, the early guy out is going to capture the value that's been created, and the later guy out is going to capture sort of the long-run average value,
Susan,
which is not going to be as good.
Let me ask you, we don't want to make big, quick, sweeping assessments here. As John says, there's a lot of texture to this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should look first at where the boomers are likely to go, because, of course, wherever they go, demand will go with them. What does their forward home search look like?
Well, there is tremendous opportunity coming from where the boomers will migrate to. And some of those characteristics of some of those places will be, and it'll be prices on land and prices on existing mm-hmm. structures, water, think about water, think about salty water above non-salty water, think about mountains, think about small cities, think about university cities. Health infrastructure is often talked about as a characteristic that boomers look for, but I think that it's too early in the game for that. They'll be worried about that in another 10 or 15 years.
So put some names on those characteristics.
Okay.
What part of the country? Where is it happening already? Where's the bulge, the boomer bulge, likely to move?
Yeah, Raleigh, Atlanta, Jacksonville, South Florida, Austin, Texas, the Inland Empire, which is Riverside, San Bernardino in California, Phoenix, Vegas, and the entire coastline from Maine, where I've chosen to move, to Washington State.
So it sounds like you're saying south with a capital S plus some eastern seaboard. You're not mentioning
exactly.
the upper northwest, Oregon, Washington. That doesn't count?
No, yeah, all the way up to Washington State.
So it looks
all
kind of like a big smiley face, like a big grin from Seattle down through the south and back up to where you are in Portland, Maine.
Exactly.
That leaves an empty bowl in the middle.
Oh, it certainly does.
And what does that mean? What kind of places are you looking at a downturn?
Well, the good news for those folks who are in those places is that their house prices did not rise as much originally.
You're talking the Midwest here,
exactly.
And what?
Yep, the entire real central core of the United States, basically anything that drains into the Mississippi, I think, would be impacted by this. So those places didn't experience the big rises. They will also not experience the big cratering. But to kind of get back to sort of a local decision-making rule, anyone who wants to think about how this is going to impact them should look at the street that they live on and should ask themselves, who is living around me and what is their stage in life?
Right.
And what kinds of choices are they making for themselves? Because you would hate to drive home from work one night and see 20 for sale signs all the way up and down your street.
You're the last one on the block, and everybody else is headed points south and salty. John McElwain, what about the generations coming along behind and their aspirations in a home? How are they like to factor in then to the boomer exit?
What we're seeing is that particularly that they're urbanized. They have much more interest in urban than perhaps the baby boomers did at their same age. Hmm. Although we still have the same pattern when people get partnered up and start to have kids and their kids get to be of school age, there's still a flowing out of the cities into the suburbs where there are better schools. But until that happens, what we're seeing is much more interest in urban. We're seeing people who can't afford that big suburban house or even the big fancy condo in the city, but they'll take a smaller condo. What they want in those condos, particularly those who are the young professionals and can afford it, is they'll trade off square footage for high amenities, for high quality finishes, that cutting edge kind of design.
Right.
And they want an area that's interesting, whether it's downtown or in a suburban town center. They want to be able to walk outside. You know, a home is not just what's inside the four walls. It's also what happens when you step outside.
Does that mean that the boomers' push into the deep suburbs and exurbia will be less attractive terrain for the next up-and-coming generations?
It will, except for, and here's another piece to break down. We don't, I think, have one American dream the way we did in the 50s, where everybody wanted the small suburban home. We have people who are following Susan's path out to the coast of Maine. Mm-hmm. We have people who are moving into town centers. There are a number of baby boomers who are leaving their suburban homes and buying the fancy high-priced condo in the city, which is causing an urban revitalization to occur in many housing markets that I think will continue for some time. And you do have the retirees who are packing up and they're moving to the south or out to Arizona for the sun. So there's a lot of different trends that are going here, and we have such a large population that each one of these trends is important to follow.
So there's a financial aspect, John McElwain. There's also a lifestyle facet front and center here.
There are an increasing number of people who are deciding to retire, well, it's not necessarily in place, but in the same community. One of the big draws for many people is being near the grandkids. In fact, what we're seeing is a lot of people who of a previous generation retired to Florida, getting the house. They thought their kids would bring the grandkids down on a regular basis. They find out that their kids are too busy, don't see the grandkids all that much, and are actually starting to move back north to the same cities that they had left before so they can be closer to their kids and the grandkids. You see that with growing retirement communities in the areas surrounding the northern cities. You see that in advertisements for retirees in Florida to move back north. But I think because of the ongoing population growth, particularly for smaller properties, particularly for properties in the 300,000 to 400,000 or 500,000, which are the basic housing, it's just a need for housing that's going to continue on. And there are so many constraints, particularly in the northeastern market, to new production, that there's just going to be pressure to keep the prices up.
And Susan, what about that expectation or hope that, hey, there's going to be a floor there, come hell or high water, it's always been there?
Yeah, I disagree entirely. There is no floor. There is no floor in any price. Prices are strictly a function of supply and demand, and we're definitely entering a period of demand deterioration. In the Northeast in particular as well, there's net out-migration, particularly among this population who could be the takeouts for these selling baby boomers. So it's even worse in the Northeast than it is in other parts of the country. And your real takeout, I mean, if you can sort of hold your breath and hold your nose long enough to get through this cycle, the takeout will be the echo boomers. And the peak birth year of echo boomers that makes those kids now about 16 years old. So they will not start being interested in these houses until they're 34. And that's a long way away.
And when you say takeout, you mean that's the next bump in demand out there.
It's
sort of 20 years or nearly 15 or 20 years forward.
That's right. Because the echo boomers, as we were talking earlier, the baby boomers are front-end loaded. The echo boomers are back-end loaded.
But isn't it possible that you're going to have a lot of boomers who want to hang on to those big homes in the burbs, who have visions of grandkids playing in the backyard dancing in their heads?
You know what? Everyone should go out and talk and just do an on-street interview. Anyone you see who's basically in that sort of 60-year-old age cohort, go ask them what they're planning to do. Any dinner party I sit down at now, first question I do is I go around the whole room and I ask people, what are you going to do? And I always get more than 50% going to sell the big house.
Does that mean that there's a great bargain coming for younger Americans, that they're going to be able to stream into these suburbs that have been so sought after at a relatively lower price compared to their income?
Yeah, I mean, bargain might be a strong word, but it certainly will be more affordable. And it's a good thing, too, because interest rates are going up. So now's the time for more affordability in the base housing unit.
Affordability, and it may be just around the corner. Wow, it's been a fascinating conversation. We're talking about very, very big trends there. You can hear the resistance in some quarters to people seeing these changes coming, and in others, people already grabbing on and really swinging with it. I want to thank both of you for being with us today. It's been terrific. John McElwain at the Urban Land Institute in Washington, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
And Susan Hudson-Wilson, joining us from Portland, Maine, founder and former CEO of Property and Portfolio Research. Susan, thanks so much for being with us.
You're more than welcome.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation online at onpointradio.org. Click on forums. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.